Going to be in the book of Romans this morning. Romans chapter number one. Romans chapter number one. Romans chapter number one, and we're actually going to begin reading in verse number 8. If you would stand, please, in honor and reverence to God's word. You're not standing for me or anyone else, but we stand in honor of God's word. Romans chapter number 1, I'm going to read verse 8 through 15. Then I'm going to pray and I'll let you be seated as we bring the message this morning that God has put on our heart for the day. Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse number 8. The Bible says this: "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for the Holy Spirit that teaches us and guides us in truth. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your work, the work that you have done and the work that you continue to do on our behalf. We thank you for your precious blood, your own blood that you shed on the cross of Calvary, that whosoever will may come and receive and be saved and be born again. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And Lord, we know that one day that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And I thank you, God, that you are the God of gods. You are the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And we give you the glory. We give you the praise and the honor in everything, God, for you alone are worthy. Lord, I pray that you would help me today. Help me in this moment, in this hour, God, to speak only what you want me to speak. Lord, if there's anything that I need to say, please add it to my mind. God, if there's something that I plan to say that I should not say, Lord, please strike it from me. God, I only want your will to be accomplished. Lord, I want to be a help and a blessing to these people. Lord, thank you for each one that's here today. I pray that you would bless them and meet them in their need at this very hour. God, and I pray that you would be glorified again in all that we say and do. May you be pleased. May you be praised. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. 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 Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Here in the book of Romans, we see the Apostle Paul, as he gives the introduction in the first few verses, he's writing to the church that has been established in Rome. Now, Paul did not start the church in Rome. Peter did not start the church in Rome, although the Roman Catholics would like us to believe that. We believe, and most believe, that the church in Rome was started by some of those that had gone to Jerusalem. You remember in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Ghost came upon those and they were gathered to Jerusalem, all those multitudes and different languages. It's believed by most theologians and most Bible scholars and many Christians that church in Rome was started by some believers that had been there and had gotten saved there in that day and went back and started preaching the gospel. Paul really didn't have anything to do at the beginnings of this church, but Paul says, I thank my God for you. Thank my God for you. And so we see that Paul is writing this. We see that Paul has a determination to get to them. And you say, well, it kind of sounds like Paul is big on himself. You know, I want to come to you and give some. Well, Paul had some things that had been revealed to him by God that no other man had. Paul was a special person. Paul was a special man. Now, he was just a man. We need to remember that. He was just flesh and blood like you and me. But God had given him some specific things. Had given him some leadership, had given him some revelations that he had not given another human being at this point. And so he did have things to give. He did have things to say that church needed. And he had some teaching that others did not have. And so he was desiring to go to them to impart unto them some things that God had given him. Now I look to the older generation for wisdom about things that I don't know about. Life experience. Things that God has shown you through your life. And maybe more years of being a Christian than I have experienced. Things that God has done. Things that life has showed you. There are things that I don't know that I need to receive from someone else. And so it is with the church in Rome. They were a young church. They started off great. Their faith was known throughout the world, Paul says. But there were things that they needed to hear. They needed some discipleship. Amen. Discipleship is so important. It's wonderful to be saved. It's wonderful to know Christ as your Savior. It's wonderful to know that you're on your way to heaven. But we need to learn and we need to grow day by day. And so Paul says, I want to come to you so that I can impart unto you some things that you need to know. So as we go through these verses, there's a number of things. I've actually got 11 things. I'm probably just going to take 1 or 2 minutes on each thing. But we see here a list of things that Paul writes in just these 7 or 8 verses. That basically Paul says, this is what I have become. This is what I am. These are the things that I possess by the grace of God. Paul said, by the grace of God I am what I am. You know, it's by God's grace that Paul was even saved. We know that. He was He was against the things of God. He was against Jesus Christ. He was against the church. But here he is, and now he's saying, I've learned some things. And I believe that the things we see here in these verses, every Christian should possess, like Paul does. There's things here that we should possess. And probably most of these, we can, if you want to check boxes, probably most of these, most of us can check these boxes. But it's just these things that I want to go through and see that Paul noted. As we begin in verse number 8, he says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. First of all, I think every Christian ought to be thankful. Amen. The Bible tells us later on in chapter 1 of Romans that the unsaved, the unbelieving, they become unthankful. And then that starts a snowball effect. They first were unthankful. Then they become unholy. And then it just goes on from there. And pretty soon they're off in sin and God gives them over to a reprobate mind. Where does it start? With being unthankful. Ungrateful. So Paul says, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. I think we ought to be thankful. Now Paul was not, this was again not one of Paul's churches that he had started on any of his missionary journeys. But he was still grateful for this church. He wasn't jealous. This church was world famous, but Paul didn't have his name on it. He didn't start it. Paul was satisfied that in Jesus Christ, that this church was successful, that this church was doing well. I'm going to turn over. You don't have to. I didn't write this one down. This is one of the verses I didn't write down, but I want to read it over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And this kind of supports this thought of being thankful. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 12 and 13, the Bible says this, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you. Now that's not just the pastors and preachers and teachers and so on. Those that labor among you, them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord. Now that's talking about those are in authority. And admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. This kind of goes along with Paul being thankful for them, even though he didn't really have a hand in them. He's giving them honor because they're laboring too. They're laboring in the service. They're laboring in the work of God. And he admonishes them and he esteems them, as the Bible says here, very highly in love for their work's sake. So Paul says, I am thankful. Then again in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6, the Bible says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Paul was content with his role in the church at Rome. He was content with going there and just supporting. And so we ought to be too. We ought to be content in the things that God has given us. Not always necessarily looking for more and more and more. Although God may give more, we ought to be content with what we are and what we have. So he first of all, he says, I am thankful. I thank my God. And as we continue on, the Bible says in verse number 9, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Not only was he thankful, but he was committed. Yeah. He was committed. He was committed to the work of God. He was committed to the church of God and to the children of God. To those people, those individuals who are part of these churches that he was going about to help. He was committed to them. He writes in Romans chapter 12, beginning verse 1, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and perfect, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now there's not three wills of God. That's just three descriptions of the will of God. That good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's all three of those things. He said, I am committed. He says, I make mention of you always without ceasing in my prayers. He's committed to the work that God called him to do. He's committed to the church. Then again in verse 9, we see that he is prayerful. He is thoughtful. He's thoughtful of the people and those needs. And as I was saying before, earlier as we began the service, you might not always remember every detail of everyone that asked for a prayer request, but we know that person had a need on their heart, and we ought to be thoughtful to those things. We ought to be thinking about those things. Prayerful. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We've got to be praying for one another, whether it's here in our local assembly, our local congregation, or for those on the mission field. We pray for the missionaries faithfully. We pray for the missionaries that are supported here out of Northwood. For all saints, making supplication for them. That means we're crying out to God on their behalf, on someone else's behalf. Paul is thankful. Paul is committed, and Paul is prayerful. He says, I cease not. I think he's gone now, Dr. Don Green. He's with the Lord now. But Dr. Don Green, he was in Lansing, Michigan, and he was the pastor of, oh my goodness, I remember the name of his church now. He pastored there for over 50 years, way over 50 years. Anybody familiar with Dr. Don Green? He spent 8 hours a day in prayer and Bible study. 8 hours a day. And he prayed for my family and me and my family on the mission field for over 20 years. He prayed for us every day. He'd let us know, I pray for you every day. And he had a list. I mean, he had to pray for hours and hours because he had so many people. He had a list of people he prayed for all over the world. And I'm not lifting up a man. I'm just saying that's what commitment is. And I believe Paul was that way too. And there's many, many like that. And I'm not trying to just single out one person, but that's what commitment is. And he was dedicated to God's, the life work that God gave him. And he was committed to that, and he was prayerful. So Paul says, as we move on to verse number 10, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. He was surrendered to the will of God. He says, I'm willing to go, I'm willing to come if God would allow me to. He said, I've made requests to God. I've asked God, if I come, I might have a prosperous journey to come unto you. He was surrendered to the will of God. The Lord Jesus Christ was our example of that in John chapter 4 and verse 34. The Lord, when the disciples come and said, Lord, you know, you haven't eaten anything today. He says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And of course, then the Bible tells us that we ought to have the mind of Christ. We ought to be minded about the things of God and the work of the Father and the work of the Lord. And we ought to be about the Father's business. Even as a 12-year-old little boy, the Lord Jesus Christ, his mother Mary came and Joseph came and were looking for him. Remember, he'd kind of gotten forgotten and left when they left town. And they found him, and he was teaching. And they, you know, asked him, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I have to be about my Father's business. There's no time to waste. I am all about my Father's business." And so Paul takes on that attribute as well. He surrendered to the will of God. He said, "If God will, I'm going to come to you." Verse number 11: "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that you might be established." His desire was that they would grow and that they would know more and more about the things of God. He wanted to be usable. Usable. He wanted to be usable. And I've said before that God is less interested in our ability than he is in our availability. If we are available, God will give us what we need to accomplish the work that he's called us to. And Paul was available. He wanted to be usable. He wanted to be a vessel that God could use. 2 Timothy 2 verse 21 says that we could be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use. That M-E-E-T, that means suitable. Meet for the master's use, suitable for the master's use. We ought to want to be usable. Now that doesn't mean that all of us are going to, you know, have some great work or some great ministry. Any ministry, any work for God is a great work. It may never be published anywhere. What we're doing may never, ever be seen by anybody outside of our church. But it's still a great work. And we ought to want to be usable. Whether it's just from cleaning to whatever it is. It's a work of God that has to be done. And we ought to be willing to be usable. And Paul, no matter how great of a man he was, no matter how great of a servant he was humble. Yes. Verse number 12. He told him that he wants them to be established. And he says, verse 12, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Amen. We're the same, Paul says. We're the same here, you and me. Yes, I am the Apostle Paul. I am the Apostle to the Gentiles. God gave me that direction. It gave me that calling. But we're no different, you and me. Right. I had to get saved the same way you did. And over and over and over again, God or Paul gives his testimony about how God struck him down on the road to Damascus. Blinded him for a time. So that he could get his attention. Paul, Paul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. I believe that humbled Paul. Yeah. Made him a different man. Made him a different person. Amen. So that he could be usable. So that he could be effective in his ministry. He knew that he was no better than anybody else. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. Amen. Romans 12:3 says we ought not to think of, a man ought not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Paul was humble and he says, I need to experience this with you. The mutual faith both of you and me. Verse 13 he says, now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto. God didn't allow it at that time. For what reason? That I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. Amen. Paul wanted to be fruitful. He had a fruitful attitude. He had fruitful activities. He was always going about to help and to make a difference. To be there for someone, to show them something that they hadn't known before. Yeah. To be fruitful. And we all ought to desire fruit in the work of God. That's God's will for us, that we be fruitful. And that may look different for some of us. There's different, we know that there's different fruits, the fruits of the Spirit, but then there's being fruitful and having a harvest. Win souls. The Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. That's bringing fruit to the Lord's account, to the Father. We ought to do those things. And we ought to have an attitude of bearing fruit. Colossians 1:10 says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Amen. We go about the work of God to bring forth fruit unto the Lord. Paul was fruitful among others. He also wanted to be fruitful among these Gentile believers in Rome. In verse 14, the Bible says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Paul says, I'm a debtor. And I didn't really understand that, and I think I have a better understanding of what he is saying here now. We have received, if those of us who are saved, we know what it is to have salvation. And so we have been given the answer. Yes. We have been given the remedy, so to speak. And so we have the answer in our hands. And we have the remedy in our hands. Amen. We have the fix for the problem that this world has. And having that, we have a debt. Yes. To go and give that to those who don't have it. God has put it in our possession. We have laid hold on eternal life. And we're walking around with eternal life. We're walking around with the answer. And when I walk by somebody that I, you know, by the way, there's no bad candidate for salvation. Everyone's a candidate. Because God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So you won't walk by any human being that you can't give the gospel to. That's right. But we have been given the answer. We have been given eternal life. And Paul says, I have this thing in my possession. And I owe it to others to show them and to give it to them. That's why he says, I am a debtor. It's not that they had done some great thing for him and now he owed them. He has the answer that they need. He has hold of eternal life. And now it's his responsibility. He talks about a dispensation of the gospel. He talks about dispensing the gospel in another place. He says, I am a debtor. And I have to give this out. And so part of it is coming to Rome to see you folks, to help you. And to disperse this thing that God has given me. Just like the young girl that got saved, the granddaughter. She immediately felt and realized that she's got a responsibility now. I've just gotten this tremendous thing, and there are other people who need it too. And to hold on to that and not to give it out is a terrible thing. And Paul says, I am a debtor. I have to go out. I have to give the gospel. Because I have it and I owe it to others to give it to them. He was obligated to reach out to those that didn't know salvation and give it to them. Then in verse 15, we see that not only was he obligated, he was eager to do it. Verse 15 says, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. He was eager to do it. He had a job to do, but it wasn't drudgery for him. Oh, I'm going to have to go down to Rome and talk to these people. Line these people out. Yeah, they're saved, but boy, they don't know much. You know, wasn't that at all. I am eager to come and give you what I know. Amen. To support you and to help you and to help you grow in the knowledge of Christ, in the knowledge of God. I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. He was eager. Amen. And I'm not saying that we're always going to feel like going out. We're not. You don't always feel like going out and doing what you're supposed to do. Like going to work. I don't always feel like getting up in the morning and going to work. I don't always feel like going out and talking to neighbors and doing those things that I should do with the gospel. I don't always feel like it physically or emotionally sometimes. And that's when maybe one thing we ought to pray about. But Paul says, I am ready. I'm eager to go. I'm itching to go do it. I'm itching to come to you so that I can be a blessing to you. So he was eager. Then, of course, verse 16, we see that he was not ashamed. I'm ready to come to preach the gospel to you that at Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's foolishness. We know the Bible says that preaching the gospel is foolishness to the world, to the lost. It's foolish for me to stand up Sunday morning. It's foolish for you to get up early and come to church and listen to some guy stand up and rant and rave and holler at you. That's foolish to the world. That's foolishness. But it's the power of God unto salvation. It's the power of God. The gospel. Do you realize when you go out and you tell somebody about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is power. Amen. That is the power of God. There's something powerful about it. And it's so powerful that all these years later, people are still getting saved. Why? Because it's power. It's plugging in. It's plugging into something that's far greater than we are. When you get out, and I'll say this, we used to, when I was first saved in the first several years of my Christianity, we got involved in everything. Got involved with nursing home ministries, got involved with jail preaching ministries, and preached down to state prison in Fulton, and we were involved in everything. I mean, we had things going pretty much every night of the week. We were going. And And it got to be so sometimes it was, oh my goodness, here we go. We're going to go and do this tonight. And I really don't feel like it. One of the things we used to do, we used to go downtown. I don't remember the streets now, down here in Columbia. We used to go on Saturday nights downtown and there, you know, around some of the sketchy parts of town. And we would stand on the street corners and preach. Or maybe not necessarily even just preach. One guy would stand out and give some Bible verses and preach a little bit. The rest of us were just, you know, we were handing out tracts and just talking to people, you know, and letting them know what we're doing. We're here, you know, we represent the Lord Jesus Christ. We're saved, and, you know, we want people to know this and that. And it was kind of a fearful thing for me in the beginning. And boy, I kind of nervous about going. And even later on, just kind of getting nervous about going. You don't know what you're going to run into down there, the type of people you're going to run into. And boy, did we run into some people. But once you got going, that power kicked in. When you're out there giving the gospel and you're out there telling people about Christ, you forget about the danger. You forget about the fear. You forget about all those things. Why? Because it's power. It's power that comes from a source that isn't within me. And God gives you that. It is a power of God unto salvation. So we see that he is unashamed. And then finally, we see that Paul was faithful. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Thank God for that. Everyone that believeth. Let's not forget that. Everyone that believes can be saved. That's all there is to it. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Paul was a faithful man. He was a faithful preacher. He was a faithful servant of God. Even in the midst of turmoil, even in the midst of trouble, even in the midst of trials and tribulation, he was faithful. And the just shall live by faith. You know, the Bible tells us that there'll come a time when the Lord says, when I come, will I find faith? Will I find faith? And for years I thought that was talking about faithfulness or busyness. It doesn't say that. Will I find faith? Will I find people who really trust in me and really believe in me and really believe me? Will I find faith? I think there are a lot of people that are busy. But do we really trust God? Do we really believe God? Are we just going about through the rituals and through the motions? Or is it really because of our faith? There is a difference. There's a difference between being busy just because we're supposed to, or doing what we're supposed to do because we love God so much and because we trust Him and we know that His way is perfect. There's a big difference in that. And I'll be honest, for a little while, for a number of years ago, I was just spinning my wheels because I was doing everything I thought I was expected to do. And thought that that's what the reward was for. I'm busy, God's going to... Busyness, just because it's busyness, is not faith. It's great to work and it's great to serve the Lord and it's great to be busy, but we ought to be doing it because of our faith in Him. Because of our trust in Him, because of our love for Him. And there is a big difference. Amen. The reward will be different. Not that I deserve a reward, but there will be rewards one of these days. There will be judgment. There will be rewards. And we will be rewarded because of our work for Him in faith. Amen. In faith. And Paul says, the just shall live by faith. He could say that because he experienced it. He lived his life by faith. And he did what he did by the faith that he had in his Savior. These are just things that I see that Paul was, that he exemplified, that every Christian should have. It starts out with being thankful. He said, I thank my God for you. And I pray for you every day. If we just start there, just be thankful and just be prayerful, all these other things will just naturally follow. And then we'll be living a life of service in faith to our God. That's the end result. It starts with being thankful. And I think we are. Yeah. I think we are. But it's something personal that we need to strive for every day. All right. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, so much for what you've given us today through your word. I thank you, God, that you have allowed us to retain the words of God in our possession. I'm thankful, God, that you've allowed us in this country still to have the freedom and the liberty to come and worship you with other fellow believers. Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you, Lord, for each individual and each family, God, that's here. What a blessing they are. And Lord, we just ask that you continue to bless Northwood Baptist Church, that you continue to use this church in your gospel ministry. God, help us to love one another and pray for one another and serve one another. God, so fulfilling the law of Christ. God, we praise you for your presence here. And we thank you, God, that if we will put our trust in you, Lord, if we will follow you and, Lord, obey you, that God, you will do some wonderful and miraculous things. Lord, we're thankful for those who have been saved recently, and we rejoice in the fact, God, that these have been born again. And Lord, we just trust, God, that you would continue to move in hearts and lives. Lord, if you've spoken to anyone today in this service through your word, I pray that you would, Lord, help us to make a move toward you. Lord, help us to respond. Father, we give you the glory. We give you the praise. We give you the honor. Lord, do what you need to do, what needs to be done, and we will praise you more and more. In Jesus' name, amen.